Are you looking for a new way to stay fit and healthy? At Green Life Vitality, we work with you to customize your fitness plan and your nutrition plan. We also teach you how to prepare meals for your busy life. Visit us online at greenlifevitality.com. Use the code AMPRADIO for your free consultation.
Here we go!
Are you ready?
Ladies and gentlemen, coming at you. Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, another MMA podcast. Proteus, we're coming at you live and unedited and half asleep from the mean streets of Danville, California. The Amp Studios themselves. We're also coming at you from hopefully a good day in Brantford, Ontario. Shout out to Brantford, Ontario. Did I just say Ontario? Ontario. See, I'm losing it, Proteus. I keep thinking Terrier on my mind. Might be the car accident I was in yesterday. I was in a little fender bender. No. We're coming at you live and unedited from the aftermath that was a damn good fight. Mad respect to the Whitaker, the Reaper. Bobby Knuckles, UFC 225, Whitaker versus Romero 2. Absolutely sold out gate, as Dana said. Probably the biggest event ever in that arena that wasn't a basketball event. So that's actually saying something. Total attendance, 18,117, Proteus. Bonus awards, fight of the night. You can only go to one person because the other person, I lure you, Proteus, I lure you. Can't make weight. Fight of the night, $100,000 to Robert Bobby Knuckles Whitaker. Performance of the night to Curtis Razor Blades and his elbows. And Charles, I don't need glasses when I fight Oliveira. What hell of a fight, Proteus. Let's get into it. Let's meet my colleague who I missed. It wasn't the same without you, Proteus. I'm just going to say it is not the same. You know what? Cue nothing compares to you. Cue it, Proteus. Hit it.
Waza! Thank you, DJ, in the PJs for all the kind words. I missed you guys, too. But I had some family issues to take care of, so I thank you for holding down the fort.
It's not the same without you, Pro. Proteus, it was one hell of a card. Let's get into this because everyone and their grandmother is going to drop a podcast today, and rightly so. Because this might be, you know what? Let me ask you this right off the top. Last card that you saw that was this stacked in the UFC?
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'd have to go back to 25 shows ago. UFC 200 was pretty stacked, but you know, there was one fight on this fight card, Tony, that did not belong there. The elephant in the room.
We'll get to that, but let's get into the reason why we even held this. And honestly, I wasn't too excited to see it when it was re-announced because we said, we've seen this fight, right? We've seen this fight before, and we've seen him, Bobby Knuckles, beat down Joel Romero with one leg. This time he did it with half a leg and one hand. To the middleweight we went. This was not a title fight, Proteus. Robert Whitaker defeats Joel Romero. The split decision, and honestly, I think I had it going the other way, Proteus. Not joking. What say you, Pro?
Yeah, so let's talk about the Cuban muscle crisis's problem with making weight. Before we get into the fight was tremendous. Now, I have a problem, and I've mentioned this before on the show, and I got some feedback on Twitter. Disagreeing with me, some people disagreeing with me, Brian from Boston, Josh from Tilsonburg. These guys, the media that they're supposed to be doing, has ramped up. And, you know, we saw on Monday, Yoel Romero was doing the rounds in New York City, you know, flew from his home in Florida to New York, did the rounds there, got back into Chicago, checked in, and had to do media all over again. I mean, I can't imagine that makes making weight easy. Now, I'm not giving him a pass. He said on Monday on Ariel Helwani's show that he had 10 pounds to drop. That seems a little wonky to me that he still didn't make it, Tony. And, of course, we got to give the commission some props for getting themselves in the way on this one as well, telling Yoel that he had 2 hours to make weight and then pulling the rug from underneath his feet, costing him, as you mentioned, DJ Tony, 50 grand. Now let's get into the fight. When I watched it live, Tony, I agreed with the decision. And then I went back and replayed it again and again in my head. And to be honest with you, I don't know whether or not I still agree with that. I thought Yoel Romero didn't do a whole lot in the first, say, 3 rounds, but he picked a shot. And by the fourth and the fifth round, you know, Whitaker kind of, he was kind of punched out and, you know, was making some mistakes. I guess that right hand being broken, as you mentioned, did affect the way he was fighting. And Yoel was able to explode and take advantage of those opportunities. Wasn't able to get Bobby Knuckles out of there, tough guy that he is. And he still, of course, remains the champion. And as you mentioned, pulls down that 100 grand. I guess that makes taking a little bit of time off a little bit more sweeter.
Here's the thing, though. And how do I put this? So our boy, Joe Rogan, kept bringing up the rubber match, the triple. And normally when you lose twice to the same person, Proteus, I don't see as it being much of a contest. But here's the thing. It was a good fight. It could have gone either way, unlike the first one. A couple things to note here. Well, let's get into this one first. Let me broach this first. Is Robert Whittaker, unfortunately, going to be one of those fighters that's constantly on the shelf? One of those people that just can't get healthy? Because I have a feeling that he's going to be one of those, and he could be an all-time great, in my opinion. And yes, I'm prone to hyperbole. Yes, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid like I have the last two fights. But is he one of those, Proteus?
We kind of touched on this the last time as well that he fought. Yeah, he seems to be a kind of a guy who gets hurt, you know. And, of course, you're in a cage fight against, let's be honest, a much bigger guy, a much more explosive athlete in Yoel Romero. So, yeah, it's kind of like, I think Luke Rockhold said it in their last fight, that it was kind of like hitting steel, you know, trying to kick his leg. He's just in a fantastic shape. And you know, I don't know if Robert has had a lot of injuries prior to this one. And of course that staff inspection that he received in his stomach, you know, not exactly something that happens every day. So maybe we give him a little bit of a pass, but yeah, he seems to throw everything into his punches and his kicks. And of course that, you know, throwing that much effort into things, something's got to break, literally.
Now, here's the one thing we can say, Pro. If he would have lost, wouldn't have made a difference, right? I mean, it would have drawn some oohs and ahs, but he could have easily given up. He does have a bad wheel again. We don't know what the extent of that is. We do know he had a broken hand. He couldn't throw that right. We know that. But this kid didn't give up. This kid was rocked. I thought he won the first two rounds. I thought he lost the last three. This kid was rocked and still did not give up. And to be honest with you, I think it's still a matter of Homero's gas tank basically giving up on him because he couldn't finish him. Kudos to Whitaker. But yeah, a lot of that may be the gas tank of Romero. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah. I mean, you see him in the fifth and he's got Whitaker down on the ground. He's got his back and he's trying to rain down blows onto Whitaker, but he couldn't continue to do that. He couldn't throw those big power bombs you know, consecutively. He had to take a break, rest those large muscles, and then start hammering again. I think he was looking for the referee to stop it, to be honest with you. But Whitaker, to, like you said, to his credit, doing enough, keeping himself, you know, active on the bottom, defending himself intelligently. And yeah, like you said, he could have given up, but I don't think that his pride would have allowed him to do that, Tony. With regards to scoring, you know, I had Bobby Knuckles winning the first, the second, and the fourth. But of course, that shot by Romero near the end of the fourth round that got Stanky legs going, you got to take that into consideration. And that's kind of where I was beeping when I was backing up, you know, because I thought, oh, I can't really give it to Whitaker, even though he was dominating that round. The most effective, or the thing that happened in that particular round that was the most damaging, came from Yoel Romero. So, yeah, very, very close fight, Tony. And you mentioned the rubber match. I don't know if you're ready to get into that now, but I don't think it makes sense right away, DJ Tony. I honestly don't. I think I'd like to see Romero move up and try and see what he's got up at in the next weight class up, because, again, it's two fights in a row. He's had a lot of trouble. And I guess perhaps we'll get into this weight cut change, time change at some point during the show, Tony. So I think we've had two really good fights. This second fight especially, Romero looked improved, as he said he was going to be, against Whitaker. And yeah, great fight. Like, we've got a round of the year potential contender, and we've got a fight of the year potential contender on our hands here. So why not get them back together again, to be honest with you, but just not right now.
Okay, well, let's get into this, because you and I actually always go off and then come back to where we need to be. But let's get into this middleweight division, because this is, yeah. I mean, let's look at it. This was once a division that was really, really top-heavy. I mean, actually, it was deep, right? With Weidman, you name it, it was a deep division. Hockhold. Now what you have is Robert Whitaker, who I think, fair to say, clearly heads and shoulders above everyone else. You have number one ranked Romero, number two Rockhold, who, let's be honest, he's been KO'd, right? Chris Weidman, who can't fight, Kelvin Gastelum, who can't make weight, Jacare, who's really starting to look his age, Derek Brunson, okay, David Branch, okay, Brad Tavares, okay, my boy Lyoto Machida, I guess, my boy Ryan Hall, Uriah Hall, sorry, I guess. There's not a lot there, bro.
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of slim pickings. I think the UFC showed us who they want to have next. I mean, they had Kelvin Gastelum there, live and direct. They also had, I can't think of his name right now. My apologies. They were their case side, but apparently neither one of them are ready. Apparently Kelvin Gastelum has some personal issues that Dana White seems very, very upset with. And as you mentioned, why can't I not remember his name right now? Tony, help me out here.
Chris Weidman, whose hand is still isn't
Chris
ready.
Chris Weidman.
Right.
Good Lord. Sorry about that, Chris. My bad. So we got Weidman there. And those two guys are the most attractive people to have up against Bobby Knuckles next. Now, I guess the fact that Robert Whitaker got injured in this fight kind of helped the division in a way, because the two top contenders that you want to have in there don't seem to be ready. Maybe a little bit more time would help that out. But like you said, there's not much going on here in the division. But I don't think we need a third fight right away, because we need for the division to kind of blossom and move a little bit and have someone come up and become a contender. Again, I would have loved to have seen Kelvin Gastelum get in there, you know, once Romero didn't make the weight, and see how he fared against Bobby Knuckles. Or I'd like to see them in the future, because, again, they're lighter weight fighters for that division. I think it would be a good fight. They're both really good boxers. We'd probably see a lot of great action in that fight. And, of course, you can't give Yoel another chance at the title after not making weight again. I mean, he was supposed to win. He was supposed to be the interim champion. Didn't make weight, so couldn't do that. Took himself out of consideration for that. And then, of course, this fight could have been the champion. said he thought he did enough to be the champion, but again, took himself out of consideration for that too. Yeah, this division is hurting right now, Tony, and it's not the only one. Light heavyweight's not very good either.
And here's the funny thing. The best thing that could have happened, like you said, is probably Robert Whittaker being injured. No one wants him to be injured. I want this kid to have hopefully a Hall of Fame career, but that is helping a division. And honestly, the only guy that I can see that possibly can give him a fight right now is Shoeface, Antonio Carlos Jr., not joking, who's ranked 12th. So you can't give him that fight. So it'll be interesting because I don't think we can trust Gaslam making weight either. So it's, you have a Romero and then you have Gaslam, both of them who can't make weight. Let's move up. Actually, let's move down, Proteus, to a fight that was extremely controversial. First off, did this fighter deserve the title? Should have there been an interim title? Two different things, right? But both huge question marks. To the welterweight we went, Colby Covington, the new interim of interim welterweight champion, defeated Rafael Dos Anjos, who, gosh, he looked a shell of himself again, Proteus. Unanimous decision, 49-46, 48-47, 48-47. I could have had this going either way. When it first ended, I thought, okay, RDA may have snuck one in. But it was close. It could have gone other way. Proteus, I throw to you. Was the correct arm raised?
Yeah, I kind of disagree with what you said there. I thought that Colby Covington actually looked pretty impressive. But let me talk about the interim title first, because that was your first question you asked. There must have been a reason, Tony, for them to put this interim title on the line, more than maybe it just looking really good on the poster, having, you know, two belts on the line. I think if Tyron Woodley is telling us the truth and he's going to be ready to fight in, say, a couple of months, it doesn't make much sense. But then again, Tony, we don't know everything that goes on behind the scenes. Like, we know that Woodley, at first, until Colby Covington won this fight, didn't want to fight Colby Covington at all. But I think with the impressive way that he went out there and beat RDA, because I thought it was impressive, you know, that constant pressure of a really high-end wrestler that also had some boxing game really negated what RDA wanted to do. And you could see what RDA wanted to do in the first and the second round. And then you could see his face kind of change, going, oh, man, I'm not going to be able to get any of my game off at all because this guy is just in my face relentlessly, you know, punching me, changing levels, trying to take me down, exhausting my body. And I think, Tony, if there was one really good example that you needed for a 165-pound division, I think RDA is yet another contender for that division, Tony. I think it's just ridiculous for us not to have that 165-pound championship or title at this time, because there are guys that just can't make 155 anymore, and they're just not big enough. And we saw it on display on Saturday night. Colby Covington, much bigger and stronger guy than RDA. I think that's why he looked more like a shell of himself, Tony. I don't think that it was because it was a poor performance on RDA's point of view or from him. I just thought that Colby Covington was able to impose his will on RDA, and that made RDA look a little, not so good.
I guess what I'm saying, Proteus, is the non-honest supplements. And I know there's been rumors. I'm certainly not throwing that allegation. However, I am throwing the tinfoil hat on. He clearly hasn't looked like the same fighter. And Joe Rogan brought this up on the telecast. He hasn't looked like the same fighter when he was knocking people out. He doesn't have that same power. Mind you, that was at a lighter weight class. But now that he moves up, he's been okay. He's been fighting. He beat Neil Magny. He beat Robbie Lawler, who's not the same Robbie Lawler, just because of punishment and age. And now he's taking on a younger guy. And I just thought that there was a speed difference. I thought Colby Covington certainly had the length. I just didn't think he looked very impressive. And perhaps it was Colby Covington who was just looked a lot better than RDA. I just didn't see the same RDA that I've seen.
historically.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple of things we have to take into consideration. Yeah, I wouldn't hold it against you for saying non-onnit supplements, not that we have any proof with RDA. But again, he's getting older. He's moved up to a division where he's not really, I mean, Neil Magny, he's tall, lanky, not really the hugest guy in that division. And you mentioned, oh God, I cannot think today, Tony. I apologize. Robbie Lawler. And of course, like you mentioned, Robbie Lawler, not the same guy that he was when he was champion, taking on a lot of damage. But he did look really impressive, you know, in both of those fights, in my opinion, against, you know, two larger gentlemen than he may be. Again, I think we're really seeing some guys coming to the end or near the end of their career. I mean, we're talking about a guy who was just in a championship fight. He got there for a reason, right? Like, whether hate Colby Covington or like him, you know, he got himself there for a reason or in some way, and he performed. We'll see what he does against the champ, because now that he has this interim belt, Tony, he has to fight Woodley. Woodley has to fight him because there's another belt in that division. What do we say about RDA? I just think we need a 165-pound division for guys like him that just aren't not really, really big for 170.
Yeah, and maybe the Colby Covington shtick is a subject for Smack My Picks Up, because we're starting to run out of time here. We'll get that somewhere down the line. Let's move down the card, Proteus, to the mythical women's featherweight division we go. Mythical because there's three people in it, maybe two, maybe one and a half, or two and a half. Holly Holm was really impressive, Proteus, in a type of game I've never seen her play, and that's the ground game. Holly Holm defeats Megan Anderson, and I don't think it was even close. Maybe you give Megan the first 30 seconds of the fight, but I thought Holly Holm dominated her, and if her ground game would have been any better, maybe you could have finished Megan, but this wasn't even close. Kudos to Holly Holm. And I'm stealing this from somebody, and I can't recall who. But clearly, it was Daniel Cormier that said, there are levels to this game. And this was about as clear as you can get, Proteus. There are levels to this game. Proteus, I say to you, Holly Holm defeats Megan Anderson.
Yeah, I'll try and keep this one really short, not to, undermine the performance. But Holly Holm looked fantastic. Not only in her performance, but those shorts looked fantastic on her. I'm just going to say that and leave it there. Very, very impressive. Like you said, Tony, we have not seen this out of Holly Holm before. We've heard her say that she can really do work that wrestling game in the training room, but once she gets out into the octagon, yes, indeed, I agree. I did enjoy all 15 minutes of that performance. You got me sidetracked, though. Great performance. You know, that wrestling game, you know, taking advantage of probably a lesser skilled Megan Anderson, you know, again, you say, who has she fought? She hasn't fought anybody, right? She really hasn't. Holly Holm is her toughest test to date. And, you know, Holly Holm is a natural 135er and handed her ass. You know, she really did. Megan Anderson was not in this fight. Like you said, maybe the first 30 seconds she clipped. I cannot think at all today. She clipped Holly Holm and in the first 30 seconds, and Holm went, nope, we're going to switch to wrestling. And that was that was the end of the fight, pretty much, you know, just handed her a beating. And, you know, the one thing that went through my mind, Tony, was this is the person who was supposed to fight Cyborg. You put Megan Anderson in there against Cyborg and she gets her head torn off. That's all I have to say about that. As I said, the last time we saw Holly Holm versus Cyborg, I want to see that fight again. That's the fight I want to see at 145. Holly, she's the only girl that's ever taken her the distance. She's the only girl that has damaged Cyborg. Let's see that happen again. I'm down. So Cyborg seems to be down since she's not going to be fighting Megan Anderson. So let's run it back, brother.
Here's the problem. The problem is that Cyborg has one fight left in her contract, and I think they're going to do the Nunes-Cyborg fight, or I think that's what they're clamoring for right now. So that's it's going to be interesting because there's not a lot of depth in that division. Obviously, the next tough will be the women's featherweight division, so we see what comes up there. But let's just say I'm not all in on the women's featherweight division just because I don't think the talent's there right now. And it's diluted, clearly, the bantamweight title or the division as well. Proteus, let's move up to Shoegate. Joe Rogan would not give up his shoe. Would not give up his shoe for our boy Tai Tuivasa. Tai Tuivasa defeats, unfortunately, and I saw this coming. But Andrei Arlovski, credit to him, he didn't look bad. But Tai Tuivasa defeats Andrei Arlovski via decision, 29-28, 29-28, 29-28. And honestly, again with the judging, I had it going the other way, Proteus. I really did, because there's just the damage that Tuivasa was wearing. So Proteus, I throw you, Tai Tuivasa defeats the pitbull, Andrei Arlovski.
Yeah, I mean, this is where I have to agree with you on this one, Tony, because I had Andrei Arlovski winning this fight as well. I thought he was the more accurate fighter. I thought that he, like you said, created the most damage. However, that doesn't really factor into things. The most consequential things that had happened in that fight, Tuivasa, you know, was able to get a lot of heavy shots onto Andrei Arlovski. And in the judges' eyes, I guess they saw that as being more important than the pitter-pat kind of work that Andrei Arlovski was doing, busting that face open. Now, I was impressed at first with Tuivasa's footwork in the first until, of course, Andrei Arlovski cracked that nose and opened it up. Then the game plan kind of went out the window. But I was with you on this one. I thought Andrei Arlovski looked really good. I thought he did enough to win that fight, and he clearly felt that way too. I mean, he didn't stay hang around in the cage for an interview or anything. He bolted right after that decision was put out. And, you know, Tuivasa did eventually find a shoe to put a beer in and chug her down. So, you know, Joe Rogan's shoes are probably pretty expensive. I could see him not wanting a shoe being done out of them.
What was hilarious is how upfront he was and said, "That's pretty gross. It's disgusting." I'm not going to do that.
It is gross.
I thought that was.
Have you ever done one?
It is. No, thank God. I don't drink beer.
No,
I don't drink alcohol.
That's true. That's
nope,
right.
I'm the wrong guy when it comes to substance abuse because I don't. To me, a substance is a Coca-Cola. So I don't know.
That's gotcha.
Not my thing. It's not my bag, baby. So, you know, listen, I certainly like Tai Tuivasa. I didn't want to see Andrei Arlovski lose, but I kind of knew it was coming. And you know what? Andrei didn't look that bad. So let's hope he has a couple fights left in him. He says he has a couple years left in him. I don't know about that, but let's see what happens. Proteus, we're going to move to your favorite fight. And boy, I thought you were going to lay in on this one and smack my picks up. Actually, I thought that Marco did a pretty good job of this one as well, laying down the hateness, down with the hateness. But Proteus, to the welterweight division we went. Mike Jackson, Mr. Jackson, if you're nasty, defeats, not Chick Magnet, but Chicago-made punk Phil Brooks. A unanimous decision. This was, I thought this was interesting. 30-26, 30-26, 30-26. That just means an ass kicking. And honestly, I thought our boy, Mike Jackson, was toying with Phil Brooks. I thought he was playing around. And unfortunately, he was goofing around a little too much. But kudos to Mike Jackson. Did the work that he had to do and outclassed Phil Brooks. Proteus, what say you?
No, you're exactly right with what you just said there. This fight should never have been in the UFC. The CM Punk should never have been fighting in the UFC, period. I said this from the beginning. And I'm going to try not to get too riled up on this one, Tony, because it really pissed me off, to be honest with you. First of all, to have that guy at the highest level of competition is ridiculous, and it looks ridiculous. It was embarrassing, and I'm pretty sure that's why the reaction from Lord Dana was so harsh, because Every time Dana makes a mistake or something doesn't go his way, he blames everybody else. I had absolutely no problem with what Mike Jackson did in the Octagon, showing every single person in that arena, every single person who bought a pay-per-view to watch CM Punk fight. Good Lord, if you bought this pay-per-view because you wanted to see what CM Punk was up to, give your head a shake. Mike Jackson did exactly what I wanted him to do. He did exactly what I think all the hardcore fans wanted him to do. Yeah, he was playing with the food. Absolutely. He showed us and the brass in the Empire that Phil Brooks should never have been in that octagon. And what I thought was interesting was Joe Rogan on the broadcast, you know, parroting exactly what Dana White had said at the press conference. So I'm assuming that Dana White was in Joe Rogan's ear telling them what to say, because that was embarrassing. Secondly, Jimmy Smith, you're the man. You're the only person who told the truth on that day while that fight was going on. Mike Jackson had said from the beginning of the week that that's exactly what he was going to do, and he did it. Gave Phil Brooks a huge ass-kicking. Kudos to Phil Brooks for taking that ass-kicking and experiencing the full UFC point of view, but I don't care. He should not have been allowed to be there in the first place, and that's all I got to say about that.
Well said, Proteus. I completely agree with you, and unfortunately, people did want to see him fight. I wasn't one of those. I thought we've seen enough, actually. I think he should have been in a different organization, LFA, somewhere. If you want to fight, fight. If someone's willing to give you a chance, heck, have at it, but not in the UFC. I think we expect a different level of professionalism in the UFC. Proteus, we move up to the heavyweight. Now we're at the FS1 cards. Curtis Razor Blades. I guess he sharpened up that razor. Either that or got one from the Dollar Shave Club. Who'd we love to have as a sponsor, by the way. This was brought to you by Bomb First Apparel. Be more, be first. Use the promo code AMP10 to get 10% off your Bomb First Street Fight Apparel. Curtis Blades, Proteus, defeats Alistair Overeem, the ring. TKO elbows in the third, and it was pretty brutal in the third. Proteus, I throw to you.
Yeah, again, I'm not the first one to say this, but I think in the heavyweight division, we're kind of seeing the tide turning. You know, starting with Cain Velasquez, he kind of brought into that smaller, kind of faster look to the heavyweight division. And, you know, Alistair Overeem's been in this game for a very, very long time. He's been... You've got the stats. You've read them out to us plenty of times. He's been knocked out plenty of times in the UFC. Guess he's one of those kind of guys that can just shake it off and move on. But, you know, very impressive performance. Curtis Blades, he's moving up that heavyweight division with some great speed. And, hey, I'd love to see him get a title shot as well. I mean, the sky's the limit for this guy, in my opinion.
Not bad in a division that really needs some young talent. I still don't think he deserves Miocic or whomever becomes the heavyweight champ. I'm assuming it's going to be Stipe. But there's not much left in that division. Let's move down to the women's strawweight. Claudia Gadella defeats Carla Esparza. I didn't think it was a split decision. It was a good fight. I did think Claudia won that fight, Claudia, but I also think that Claudia runs out of gas. And Carla Esparza looked better than I ever seen her look before in terms of just as a fighter. Proteus, what say you? Claudia Gadella defeats Carla Esparza.
Well, you wanted to talk about how good Carla Esparza looked. I have to agree with you. In the one of the press events leading up to this particular fight, that white skirt and top did it for me. Very well played. Listen, yeah, like you said, Carla Esparza shocking some people. I mean, I think we remember her, you know, as the first champ in this division and then losing it really quickly, but she's improving. She showed us in the last fight that she was in as well, that she's definitely improving and maybe taking some people by surprise. I think we all thought that Gadella was going to win this fight, you know, just because of who she's fought, kind of MMA math-wise. But, again, good fight. good for Claudia. She moves up. I don't think Esparza needs to be feel too bad about this one because her stock rises as well. I think in this loss, you know, like I said, taking some people by surprise and showing that she's definitely improved.
Proteus, let's move through these fights because I do want to get into the weight cutting issue. So Mirsad Bektik defeats Ricardo Lamas, and unfortunately, I think it was Joe Rogan that said that in the featherweight division, age is probably not your friend. I thought Ricardo Lamas looked pretty good, but unfortunately, he loses to Mirsad Bektik, a man basically, I think, close to 10 years his junior. I don't think that was Ricardo Lamas' best. I don't think he looked bad, but I think age is starting to get to him. Chris De La Rocha in the battle of moves, Chris De La Rocha defeats Hashad Coulter via TKO. Second time we've seen Hashad Coulter get knocked out, so that's not a good thing. UFC Fight Pass prelims. Let's fly through these. Our boy, Anthony Lionheart Smith, destroys Rashad Evans. Sugar Rashad Evans via KO, knee, 53 seconds in. Not the way you want to see someone go out. But like Chael Sonnen says, Proteus, we all go out the same way, and that's usually face down, ass up. Sergio Pettis defeats Joseph Benavidez. You know what? I got to cue the music on this one, Proteus, because I know what you're thinking. You're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. I think you're thinking the same thing I'm thinking. I know that you said that your boy, Joseph Benavidez, you know what? Let's call him Stan. Sergio Pettis defeats Stan via split decision. Sergio Pettis looking good. Joseph Benavidez looking like he had a little bit of ring rust there. Charles Oliveira defeats Clay Guida. Ouch. First round. Submission. And Dan Ige, junkie favorite, defeats Mike Santiago. Not even close. 50 seconds. TKO. Proteus, let's get into the weight cutting issue. Because that did come around. And, of course, Dana, being Dana, brings it up. Possibly not in the best way to bring it up. But here's where I'm going to get your underwear in a twist here, Proteus. I kind of agree with him that there's been a lot of weight issues, but I think it's people just taking advantage of the system. I don't think it's necessarily people missing weight because they can't make the weight. I think it's people missing weight because I'm going to come out bigger and stronger anyway. Proteus, throwing to you on this weight cutting issue, what say you?
I think if anybody is thinking that they're doing this for the health and safety of the fighters, you don't get it twisted. There is monetary reasons for this decision to have been made. The MMA journalists who were actually at the fight card, you know, asked the fighters that were there. Yes, it's a small portion of fighters. As Lord Dana will love to tell us that it's a small portion of fighters. Prefer the early weigh-in. As you mentioned, Tony, I believe that there are people that are gaming the system or that are shitty at weight cutting. Let's just be honest, okay? They're just not very good at weight cutting, and we're seeing that happen more and more often now as there's more fighters in the UFC who are getting paid less money that probably can't afford a nutritionist, let's be honest, or can't afford to get to the Performance Institute, meet with their nutritionist, or don't know that they can get help from the Performance Institute people helping them with their nutrition. Weight cutting is an issue. Let's be honest. There are guys that are like Yoel Romero that are trying to cut such an amount of weight that they can barely walk their way to the scale. And I think this stuff needs to stop. I don't believe that changing the weigh-in time is going to do anything but create more problems in the end with weight cutting. When 2 years ago, when this was instituted, Tony, I remember us speaking about it and how great it was, praising the fact that they were giving the fighters more time to rehydrate. Because listen, it's taxing on the human body, Tony, to suck yourself all the way down to a certain weight, probably have hardly any water in you, and then try and rehydrate again. The more time that you have for that, the better. If you listen to John Lothart speak about it, he says it has to be done. Rehydration has to be done in a certain way, especially if you can't use the IVs anymore, which we know we can't. So it has to be done slowly and it has to be done properly. And I think the short-sightedness of this decision, because there is a monetary value here. I mean, I don't know about you, but that fight against Yoel Romero and Robert Whittaker lost a little shine once that weight was not made. Maybe I'm not the only one who felt that way, Tony. Maybe it's been affecting pay-per-views, because it's not just the guys at the bottom of the card that are missing weight, as we saw with Yoel twice now. Top of the card, main event, miss weight both times. I'm just saying.
But don't you think, Proteus, in the spirit of being fair, don't you think, and yes, I did agree with that the early weigh-ins would be a great idea. Chance to rehydrate, like George Lockhart, you said that. Clearly, Mike Docha has said that. The problem is, you're seeing the same people miss weight over and over and over and over again. And I think it's 80% of the fighters that miss weight end up winning their fights, which means they're not suffering as much as the others. And there's this, it seems to be like a contingent of fighters that seem to be losing or missing weight on purpose. I could be wrong, but Darren Till misses weight. Yoel Romero misses weight. Kelvin Gastelum misses weight. Let's not go into Johnny Hendricks, who misses weight, but there seems to be, right, a sort of people that continue to miss weight and they become victorious. Yep. Is that, you don't find that being an issue?
No, I told you, I've said this. I mean, I think it's cheating, to be honest with you. If you're not going to be at the contracted weight that you signed for, I don't think that the opponent needs to take that fight. Like, look at Leslie Smith. She stood up for herself, but what did that get her? Fired. These fighters, and I'm going to say this one more time, these fighters need representation, okay? Dana can do, and the UFC, they can do whatever they want. There's nobody telling them that they can't. The fighters have to take it. You know what I mean? Like, you can't even, if you wanted to weigh in early, you're not allowed to anymore. Like, maybe you should have the option. Maybe they should look into that. Maybe when you show up, you say, okay, I want to do the early weigh-ins, or I want to weigh in at 4. You know, regardless, if the more chances you give these guys to cheat or to game the system, they probably will. The guys from the CME podcast call that dumb dosso. You're not cheating, you're not trying. So, Tony, I don't think that it's going to change. You see the numbers, they kind of have doubled in this past 2 years of people not making weight, but it's also a different landscape in the UFC of the past 2 years. You know, new ownership, maybe everybody doesn't really know what they're doing yet. I just don't think it's going to help, Tony, I'm going to be honest with you. And I think Eddie Alvarez, as Dana White had said in the post-fight press conference, agrees with me. Like, it's still going to happen. People are still going to try and game the system as much as they can.
But I do think there needs to be a severe penalty. And it can't be 30% of the purse. Maybe it's 50% of the purse, right? And maybe you get the Ally Quinta treatment where you can't win. If you continue to miss weight, you can't win any bonus awards of any kind. And maybe you can't get a title belt for a year or more. I don't know. There needs to be a stiffer penalty of some kind. Proteus, let's get out of here. Thursday, we will have Smack Mike kicked up. There's not a very good card. Actually, we don't have Smack Mike picked up. We'll do a show on Thursday. Right. Let's just do a show just to touch base. Yeah, the 23rd is the next fight. So, but we'll do a show. We'll do a show just to keep us busy and keep us goofing off. By the way, Jessica Eye will be fighting on that card, but my Twitter follow of the week, Proteus, Jessica Evil Eye. Shout out to Jessica Evil Eye, who will be fighting on the 23rd. Of course, this could have gone to your girl, Carolina Cobo-Cavis, as well. Shout out to her. Great photo. Proteus, I throw to you.
Yes, I agree with your shout out.
KK looking fantastic in that photo. If you don't know what we're talking about, check her Instagram, Twitter. I don't have a shout out today. I don't have a Twitter follow. I just want to say and reiterate one more time on this program. If you're having trouble with mental illness and you need someone to talk to, please find someone to talk to. It helps. It's not, you're not a lesser person for asking for help. Please do it. We've seen a lot of high-end people, celebrities, losing their lives, taking their lives, and it needs to stop, ladies and gentlemen. Please seek some help. There's plenty of programs out there for you. Please find someone to talk to if you need it.
And I think one thing that you can say, Proteus, don't be afraid to talk to people, right? Don't be afraid say, hey, listen, I'm having a little bit of a hard time. I don't think I've ever been in that spot, but I think we all eventually will be in a place similar to that. And I think it's important to share it with people that you might be having a bad time.
And not alone. Everybody has bad days. I've been there one myself. I missed the show once because of depression. Luckily, I had someone to talk to, and I got myself out of that spot. So please, seek some help if you need it.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. Shout out to, of course, Proteus. Follow Proteus at Proadios. Follow Pam at Pam Dora Box. Follow Marco at Maldo Marco. Follow me, the DJ and the PJs, at I'm DJ Tony. We will do a show Thursday, just going over some news. I'm sure there'll be stuff to talk about. Proteus, let's get out of here.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
'Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Zaycar Photography. You've been working your butt off in the gym. Now it's time to show off all that hard work with a professional photo shoot from Zaycar Photography. Come into our studio and get some awesome photos to document your body that you've worked so hard for. You don't need to be a professional model. Our photographers are experienced professionals and can make anyone feel comfortable in front of the camera. Contact our studio manager, Kate, today at kate@zaycarphoto.com. And let me spell that for you. It's K-A-T-E at Z-A-E-K-A-R-P-H-O-T-O.com. And now back to the show.